Hey everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, where we talk about the making of comics. I'm Joey Groh, and I'm joining Andy Schmidt with Comics Experience. Hello, Andy Schmidt.
Hello, Joey Groh. I think we should start off by apologizing for missing. You know, we had a skip week in there.
You were busy, right? You were Chicago. You were C2E2.
I was in C2E2. We'll blame it on me, but I think we have a third cast member with us today. Do we want to? You want to talk about that?
So far, so silent. We have Luella has joined us in the time that we can record. She's actually fallen asleep. She is currently, as of the recording, 20 days old. And she's kind of giving me the stink eye. Not exactly sure what's going on.
So we're going to blame her for anything that goes wrong. but sincerely, congratulations, Joey, to you and the missus on the birth of your daughter. That's very cool.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate it, and apologize for any delays associated with our scheduling in the last few weeks based around having a baby.
I can forgive you a little.
It's the one time, I swear, we're not planning on any more this year.
All right, so what are we talking about today?
Shipping late due to babies. With everything that we had going on, we actually thought, because Andy's schedule recently has allowed him to do an in-store signing for an issue of Guardians of the Galaxy that came out that he was involved with, and we thought about maybe just kind of wrapping up on where things are on the publishing side of Comics Experience, as well as talking about in-store signings, which I don't think has ever been broached on here, and is kind of cool to think about from a, you know, larger Marvel DC kind of bigger company point of view, but also from an independent creator point of view. So I don't know if you have any fresh thoughts coming off of that signing of where you want to kick it off.
So I think in-store signing is a fairly self-explanatory term, but the signing that I did the other day, Guardians of the Galaxy Team Up number 5 just came out this last week as of this recording, and I co-wrote that with Andy Lanning, who is awesome, and it's illustrated by Gustav Duarte, and it's a really fun romp about Rocket Raccoon teaming up with the Pet Avengers. It came out the same week that Secret Wars began, so if you're only buying one Marvel comic to like sort of key in on kind of like the whole thing of what's going on in the Marvel Universe, obviously you're going to buy Guardians Team Up number 5 rather than Secret Wars number 1.
This is the one that you edited, Secret Wars? That sounds like it's shipping late. Speaking of shipping late.
I did edit. I edited Secret War.
Not the Jim Shooter Secret Wars.
The singular Secret War. Only one war in the Secret War that I edited. But that was the Brian Bendis, Gabriel Del Toro Secret War, which was a ton of fun.
Which is a beautiful book and a great read.
And was on a quarterly schedule and still managed to ship late. Yeah.
Well, so many babies.
Right. Somebody somewhere had a baby, and we blamed that baby.
You can get a lot of mileage, I'm telling you.
Right. So the comic was coming out, and so I live currently, but not for that much longer, outside of San Diego, as it's called, and so I reached out to a store that I'm friendly with and just asked them. In this case, I just asked them, hey, would you want me to come in and do a signing? I'll free up some time and come in. They said yes. They created then it was kind of on them to sort of market it, and then I sort of tweeted about it and that kind of thing. But they created like a little digital flyer, sort of introduced who I was and, you know, had the cover of the book on it and stuff. And so, yeah, they talked it up. And, you know, I mean, the thing is that in the cases of in-store signings, it's the stores that know their customers. I don't have personally any way to reach out to them, although I'm happy to do my part social media-wise and whatnot to say, hey, if you're in the area, come join me. But they know their customers. So they had it queued up nicely. And the main things you want in a signing are, plural, you want a space where you're kind of clearly not an employee, where you're set off in a way so that, you know, you're not being asked like, hey, do you have back issues of this?
Secret War.
Right. You want people to know that you're there for a for a special reason, and so it was good. You know, they brought out some older content that I had worked on, that I had written, so that if folks wanted more stuff signed, they could sign it and buy it and that kind of thing. And they just sort of set me up. They had a Rocket Raccoon cardboard stand-up, so they brought that out and set it next to me since he was the star of the issue. And
nice.
And of course, I then promptly, bought that stand-up, and it now sits behind me in my office so that my four-year-old can come in and pet Rocket Raccoon on a on a tri-daily basis. But you know, the thing about signings that's interesting is that it really doesn't matter how tired you are, if you're sick, if you're hungover. If you're sick, you might not want to do one because you don't want to get your fans or potential fans sick. But you know, they're good ways for the store to have something to talk about. But the way I look at it is the signings are more for the stores than for me. It's helpful. I mean, you want to have those personal connections and build a fan base. But what I'm there to do is really kind of help the store, you know, get a sense of, you know, things are happening and this is a good place you want to shop.
It's a marketing piece. It's engaged. Right, yeah. It's current.
And, you know, help increase their sales a little bit. So the signing was really cool. I've done some signing. I did a bunch of signings when I lived in New York City because there were more creators there and you could have, you know, this might be the first signing I think I've ever done by myself or it was just me.
Wow.
Which was interesting and nerve wracking. But yeah, so people would come in and I would try and, you know, have pleasant and sort of relatively meaningful exchanges with folks. And, you know, a lot of them would, you know, a lot of them hadn't, you know, didn't know me, you know, right off the bat. I mean, I'm not a superstar or anything. So, we just sort of talk about my career and sort of talk about making comics. And, you know, then people would find out I'd worked at IDW or I'd worked at Marvel. And that usually sparked some questions. And, you know, nobody asked anything that was at all, you know, weird or you know, I don't know, like trying to get dirt or anything, which can happen. I mean, it's happened. I don't know if that's ever happened to me at a signing, but it certainly happened at conventions and things. And you just kind of have to learn how to skirt around those or just not answer them, or turn the question into something that you can answer.
Right.
But that didn't happen. That didn't happen this time. Most people come in and, you know, a lot of people already had the issue on their list, which was nice to see. And then they just came over, they got it signed. We chat a little bit. And like I said, you know, your job there is to make people feel welcome, to get kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling, to associate that warm, fuzzy feeling with, hopefully with you, but certainly with the store and, you know, with the publisher, you know, or the property. You know, fortunately, you know, after the film, Guardians of the Galaxy, a lot of people really, you know, enjoy it now. So that was pretty easy. People were excited about it and wanted it to be funny, and seeing people talking about it on Twitter,
nice.
You know, thinking there was some good stuff in there. So yeah, it's been pretty cool. The surprise moment for me was that I was actually at the end of the signing and I was packing up, and they got a phone call asking if I was still there, and so I said, sure, I'll stick around for, and they said they were 10 or 15 minutes out, so I decided I'd stick around, and this fella came in with a short box of stuff to sign, and I've heard about this sort of thing happening before, but, you know, the store signing was kind of over, so I was like, sure, you know, I'll sign, you know, all this stuff, and as other people would come up, I would just sort of, you know, take them in as they would come, so it wasn't like a monopolizing, and he was totally respectful of that and very appreciative that I was signing like 150 comics. I mean, the thing that was shocking was A, that somebody had that many comics that they knew I'd actually worked on, but he also, like, in there, it was like this weird, like, survey of my career, because they were actually more or less in chronological order.
Oh, wow.
So, like, it started with issues of Spider-Girl and Captain Marvel, which were literally the first two comics that I was full editor on at Marvel. And, you know, and then went into Avengers, and it went into Secret War, and it went into, you know, my issues that I was on Alias, and, you know, he had all this stuff. And then it even crossed over into IDW. So you had all these Transformers and G.I. Joe comics,
nice.
Too. So it was this really, it was like really, I was like, oh, wow, you actually, like, you know, and the shocking thing was that, you know, he had known all that, you know, or had looked it up online and, you know, spent the time to look it up online, perhaps, you know, even from, like, as an editor. So that was really surprising. But and it turned out that he actually is in art education. And
oh,
so
nice.
He actually, like, you know, he pays attention. So we had this really long conversation about the school in San Diego, Little Fish. I don't know if you've heard about that, Joey, but it's a comic school. It's a comic school here in San Diego, physically located, and it's for kids. It's like comic school for kids in San Diego, and it's a really impressive shop and a really, really cool thing. And he knows the guys that run that and stuff. So yeah, it was really neat. But the thing about the signings is, you know, just as I think people approach them, or if you want to set one up, it's pretty easy in terms of just you contact, you know, if you want to contact a store, you know, if you have a previous relationship or if you're going to be in town and you've got something that's coming out, you know, get in touch and then try and figure out a way to get the word out to their customers. Because it's not, it's not actually uncomfortable. This has happened to me before too. It's not uncomfortable sitting there with no one coming in. That doesn't bother me because sometimes people are just busy and they don't have time to come to a store. But, you know, you'd probably prefer that didn't happen.
Sure, sure.
You know, so this was, I mean, this store signing was quite fun, and the people at the store are all real good people, and, you know, and including the customers. So it was a lot of fun. But that's basically what you want to do. You want to reach out and you want to try and help market, and then, you know, get in there, and you're really there to promote yourself, the store, and the, you know, and the publisher.
And I'm sure from a creator-owned, say you're self-publishing or distributing, I've seen local signings in my area from folks that don't have a publisher but are putting together their own books. You're bringing your own inventory. You're putting stuff out there. You know, it is, like you said, Free Comic Book Day, I'm sure, you know, that just hit. I'm sure there were a lot of folks that were at stores that might not have published work that you're buying through Diamond. But it seems like you could take your comics, obviously, prints, anything that would be something that you could have as a giveaway. I don't know if that's something that you've done in terms of outreach, or if you've seen anybody talk about that through Comics Experience as far as how do I connect to people, because I'm new at this and I want to get my work out to them. But you also, you know, that's what's so great about conventions is that direct face-to-face walk around and see, oh, wow, this looks really cool. I've never heard of it. And somebody's been doing, you know, a mini comic for 3 years and you just never heard of it because you've never been to that convention. Is there any advice on promotion just in general?
Yeah. Well, especially in scenarios where that, where you're really getting your work out there for the first time, in those cases, you know, you really are trying to build your own audience. And in terms of promotion, in terms of giveaways, I had some things out there at the table, for example. I mean, obviously, because I run Comics Experience, an online comics education community and courses and all that, I had an email newsletter sign-up sheet. I had brought in copies of my book, The Insider's Guide to Creating Comics and Graphic Novels. But I also brought in a bunch of stuff I had worked on, and a few copies of some of the stuff that we were publishing now. Creature Cops and Drones is out now.
Nice.
As things that I could just sort of give away. I mean, thing is I don't want, you want to be sort of careful, and each store is got their own sort of views on this sort of thing. In the case of SoCal Comics, where I was, Jamie's store, you know, he was just like, bring whatever you want and sell whatever you want. They even gave me a credit card scanner that I could use for my own, you know, for my own, which was
nice.
You know, kind of above and beyond. But you know, my feeling is that I'm really there to, I'm there for them, you know, and to promote, you know, the comic and stuff. And so I didn't have anything out that I was really selling. I was selling the book. It's a $20 book. But most of the other stuff I was giveaway or sign up for the newsletter, it was that sort of thing. I wanted, if they were spending money, I felt that should really go towards, you know, to the store that was hosting me. But it was really cool. And like I said, you know, those conversations sort of naturally led to other places. And, you know, actually a lot of people it turned out that came in that day were really interested in making comics and they signed up for the newsletter. And two guys actually later that same day you know, their registrations for courses came through, which frankly surprised me because I wasn't there to, I wasn't there to sell that stuff. I did have some stickers to give away.
Nice.
It's always fun.
Right. Absolutely.
But yeah, so, you know, in terms of promotion, I think if you're out there, you know, in my case, you know, I was there to do the store signing and talk about, you know, the Marvel comic I'm working on and to talk about, you know, and to talk up the store and, you know, that kind of thing. But if the conversation naturally goes into, you know, what else are you doing, you know, that sort of thing, then that's great. I mean, if people are showing a genuine interest, but, you know, I mean, I don't like doing, I don't like tabling at conventions because I don't like selling. I'm not particularly good at it, and I feel slimy when I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the people are interested, I still manage to feel slimy. But what I have learned is if a conversation starts near me about something and somebody clearly wants to know more, then I feel like I'm just having a conversation because they've already shown the interest, you know, and so I'm much better at that. So at a signing, hey, I'm focused on the book, and then if the conversation goes somewhere else, then I'm happy to have that discussion, but I'm not, you know, and that ultimately helps, you know, promote, you know, the other things I'm working on. I got to talk a little about other things that I'm writing and that kind of thing, which is always fun, as long as I'm not breaking NDAs, which I didn't. So
helpful pro tip.
Yeah, don't break your NDAs in a comic shop about comics work. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, we're just going to ship everything late.
Actually, let me take all the caveats out of that. Breaking your NDAs is a bad idea. I actually take – I know some other people that don't take NDAs all that seriously. I mean, they take them seriously, but they'll talk about it with people they trust, and I don't really do that. It's I just feel like it's just too dangerous, you know, if it gets bad. I don't know. I'm nervous about everything, I think. But it was neat. I mean, the conversations naturally went into a lot of different places. I had a conversation with somebody about skydiving.
Sure.
You know, sure, that comes up.
Guardians of the Galaxy number 5.
Right.
Team up number 5.
This naturally goes into skydiving. It was fun, but it is a good way to promote yourself. And if you are doing things like mini comics and you're hand selling them, then this is the best thing you can do because you're not being distributed nationally. So impacting in the area where you can actually sell this stuff that's huge. I mean, you know, I mean, did Marvel Comics go, hey, there was an uptick of, you know, 50 more copies of Guardians Team Up that got sold at one store in Southern California? Probably that didn't break their news that day. Every little bit helps. So I'm a firm believer. And I also like, you know, sort of talking about comics and that sort of thing. But if I were making my own mini comics and physically selling them myself in the area, then I would probably be, you know, I'd be hitting every store in the area that I could, you know, trying to either sell them on consignment or, you know, something like that.
Nice. That's actually, we've just looking at the clock, we've actually talked for a bit about the in-store signing, publishing end of things. I don't know if you have any updates there. You mentioned Creature Cops and Drones were out. That's always good to hear what's currently with CE.
So Creature Cops 1-3 was a 3-issue miniseries. All 3 issues are out now in stores, hopefully in stores near you or nearest you. They're also available digitally. Drones number 1 just came out at the end of April. Drones number 2 will come out sort of the middle-ish, maybe third week, maybe of May, I think. Not actually sure exactly which day it streets, but Drones came out, and we've learned a lot already. I mean, you know, I've worked for publishers before, but it's different when you know you're the one sort of sending the thing off to the printer and sort of shepherding them through this whole process. Obviously, we're partnered with IDW, and you know, it's just I'm happy to rely on their expertise in certain places, you know, like setting print runs, for example. But we're learning things. We're learning those things that help sales, those things that don't help sales. So it's been pretty fascinating. The reviews of Creature Cops were great, pretty much across the board. which was always good to see, because you want to take that sort of goodwill, and you want that sort of, you know, associated with not just with Creature Comps, but with comics experience and with the creators, of course, themselves. And
right.
And Drones is a very tricky comic book. It's the one that sort of simultaneously makes me the most nervous, but also the most curious to see how people are going to react. It's definitely off the beaten path. It's a satire, which is in and of itself often misunderstood. And it's about entertainment and its relationship to war and even terrorism. So a pretty hot button topic for people. And it's about drones and drones warfare a little bit. So like it has all of these sort of controversial things that are tied up into it. And then on top of that, it's put into a genre that by its very nature is misunderstood. So I was very curious and frightened about what reviews would be like for that. And they came out about what I would have expected.
Uh-huh.
There were those people that sort of got it and who reviewed it very positively, which was awesome.
Right.
And I was very thankful that that happened. And then there were those people that didn't get it, who reviewed it not so positively. And that's fine. That's fine too. The book wasn't for them. You know, most of the negative, actually the two negative reviews that I saw actually were, you know, one guy said, well, this wasn't the book I wanted to read. Okay.
Right.
Well,
right.
It was the book that we made. But it didn't, you know, it wasn't in this case, it was a very sort of, you know, kind of right wing, site that had reviewed. I'm not even sure they reviewed any other comics, but, you know, they were like, we wanted this to sort of be a pro drones, you know, warfare comic. And it's like, well, it's not. It's a satire. It's a, you know, that's just not what it is.
Right.
You know, and then there was another review that where they just didn't get it, which is fine. You know, and the book is, you know, I'd be lying if I tried to sell that book to everybody. But
sure. And satire is tricky, like you said.
Satire is tricky. And tricky to make and tricky to get. And the book is bizarre, and it's funny, and it's kind of frightening. And some of the ideas in it and the connections that Chris and Bruno make in it are even more frightening and unsettling. So I just didn't know what to expect. But one of the things that's really great, sorry to get this back around to sort of the publishing sort of thing, that's really great about putting out a book where you're not sure what to expect from how it will be received and that sort of thing is how much more I learn from a book like that.
Right, right.
So I'm getting all this new information, whereas Creature Comps was a police procedural set in this sci-fi world where creatures get DNA spliced together. Like, you know, that's a decent high concept, but it's structured in a way that, you know, it's sort of familiar to us, and it's fun and it's cool, and I learned a lot from that. And then I did this thing that's like totally not that at all, structurally, genre wise, all this sort of thing. I shouldn't say I, because I'm not the creators, you know, but we are putting out these books, and so we're learning a ton, and I think that's just making the line a lot stronger, which is cool.
Yeah, very much so. And I know, just looking at the time of year, new classes cropping up. I think coloring is up, I'm sure. That's one that always goes quickly, it seems.
Yeah, we have a new crop of intro classes. So intro coloring is starting June 1st. Intro to comic book art is starting June 10th. And then the next introduction to comic book writing that I'm teaching is starting July 15th, which is the week after San Diego Comic-Con.
That sounds like it'll work out fresh.
That'll be fine.
Will. It's always good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be back home for a couple of days by that point. It starts on a Wednesday. So, the intro courses always fill up relatively quickly, and certainly since we had a couple of sort of cool announcements and things last year, they're filling up a little bit more quickly, which is nice. But yeah, those are coming soon. So if folks are listening and they feel like now's the time to take the plunge and take a course, I'd suggest they sign up relatively soon. But yeah, and these are all taught by the folks that started them. It's still Chris Sotomayor teaching the coloring class and just blowing people's minds. It's still Robert Atkins teaching the intro to art class. And he too is blowing people's minds. And then I'm still teaching the intro to comic writing class, and I don't know if I'm blowing people's minds, but we are, you know, we're all working hard, and we always update the courses and find new ways to approach angles. We bring in fresher examples. I have now limited my original Star Wars trilogy references. I've cut them down into a third of what they probably were originally, seven or 8 years ago.
Nice.
Now we talk about Frozen.
Maybe you're slipping into prequels.
No. Yeah, but it's little things like that, like updating your references, and then but then also, you know, kind of seeing where the industry is taking you. You're always adjusting how much you lean into one subject, or do you add something in something else, and we do that every time. And I love actually the fact that it's still Robert, it's still Chris Sotomayor, and it's still me teaching the intro courses, where a lot of other places think, well, you know, you should go through other people to get to the people that have the most experience teaching or whatnot. And I feel the opposite is true. I feel that when you come in, you should be the first course you should take. You know, should be you know, somebody with that background, with that experience. And I that's one of the things I'm really proud of with comics experience, and that both Robert and Soto have, you know, been doing it for so long with us and still like doing it.
And especially with their schedules, and not to underscore your schedules, but I know two Baltimore Comic Cons in a row, I've played Soto while he's left the table for a few minutes to go away from his table for a few minutes, and I cannot bear the weight of being him. People will come by and ask questions about coloring, and I just go, I'm not that guy. I think this year I'm going to make my own name tag that says, he's back in 10 minutes. It's so funny, too, to see these guys in action at a convention, because they're always teaching in a way that's never like a preachy, teachy kind of, well, here's how you do comics. Whenever I see them talking with readers or artists or writers or colorists, it's such I get it. I get why they do it, because they just live and breathe it. The first time I ever met Robert Atkins, that's what it was. It was him just taking me through his art on the table, just talking about sequential panel breakdowns. It's such a treat to be able to see that in any capacity, but especially in the class capacity.
Yeah, and I mean, that was one of the things that, you know, when I started bringing other people in to teach, you know, it's not as simple as just grab the, you know, the most popular, you know, artist or whatever that you can find. I mean, you want to find somebody that's got some, you know, a little bit of buzz or cachet. You know, obviously it's helpful, but if they don't have the goods as an instructor, then it's not all that helpful, because people would come in and be disappointed with the course. But
right,
so it took me a long time to really find people, get to know them, watch them, see that they have those natural instincts for teaching, and then bring them in and get them going. And fortunately, you know, in the case of both of these guys, certainly, I don't think there's anybody that's actually taught anything that I've been, you know, disappointed with.
Sure.
But these guys certainly, I mean, they just have such a natural gift and a natural generosity of wanting to help people and wanting to, you know, I think one of the keys too is wanting to see other people succeed. It's true for me, certainly, when people are really working hard and doing good stuff in a course that I'm running, it energizes me creatively. So it's great. I mean, there are a lot of good reasons to do this kind of thing, and those are a few of them.
Those are definitely good ones. Well, if you have questions that you'd like to hear discussed on the Make Comics podcast, you can email info@comicsexperience.com. You can tweet @comicexperience. And we will talk about it on the show. And again, appreciate your allowing us to have that bonus skip week from last week. And we will keep on a regular schedule unless any more babies show up. I don't think there's anything happening over here yet.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Joey.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Andy. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Keep making comics.